960 The Ref and on Facebook.com/960TheRef.
All right, Dooley Field, Sanford Stadium, and a fairly big game coming up Saturday night. Notre Dame rolling into town for the first time, and more than likely the last time for a long, long time.
I was going to say the only chance I think that this home-and-home will be rescheduled, and not even that, the only chance Notre Dame comes back to Athens – I think is with a college football playoff expansion, and then the dominoes all have to fall the right way, and the home matchup. You know, it's just
a lot of layers. If they played a couple of times every 20 years, home and home, I think that'd be great.
But I don't think with after our takeover up there, I don't think they're inviting us back anytime soon. I say that seriously. Yeah, I just don't. No.
But I know they're definitely excited about coming down here too, just for the recruiting implications and the fact that they do have a large fan base in Atlanta and in the state of Georgia. Let's bring in Brandon Adams. By the way, this is the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Bringing in Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily. BA, good morning. How are you today?
Boy, I'm doing great. I'm excited about this Saturday. I know everybody listening right now is too. It's really fun to see Athens buzzing the way that it is right now. Really, the entire state of Georgia just buzzing about this game. I tell you, we live for moments like this. We got one coming up this weekend.
Oh, I mean, literally, how long has this game been on? I mean, I know it was announced 5 years ago, but this has been on the radar. Probably it really got more on the radar when the Dogs went up there a couple of years ago. But, I mean, people that I know that are lifelong Athenians, Georgia people for their whole lives are saying this is the biggest game that Georgia's ever had at Sanford Stadium. I mean, that's quite a you know, a statement right there.
Yeah, you know, obviously I've been going to games there for a long time, and you know, I was trying to make my own comparisons, and I'm a little too young to remember some of the biggest Georgia Clemson showdowns. If you want to make a non-conference comparison, I'm a little too young for some of that. I would assume that the buzz back in the 80s for some of those would have been huge. I am just old enough to remember the night game against Alabama in 85. Now, unfortunately, Georgia lost that game, but I remember there being kind of a little bit of a buzz about that. And, you know, obviously, the Georgia-Auburn stuff, you know, in my lifetime, some of those games have been big, nowhere near this big. I think this is – I was trying to think this week about why the game has as much hype as it does. I think it's kind of a confluence of – it's actually been a couple of years since Georgia's had a big home game of really any note. Probably for a number of reasons. Notre Dame does have that unique brand in that it's not a Southern team, which we're mostly used to seeing a UGA playing. And because Georgia is as fun to watch as it is right now because expectations are so high, I think there's just an appetite to see this Georgia team play anyone of note because of the excitement that Dog fans have in general about the team right now.
Brandon, along those lines, kind of, I've seen on social media several places, whenever the topic of ticket price comes up, and I haven't even checked today to see what it is, but I notice on social media, maybe you've noticed it too, sometimes you'll get Notre Dame fans chiming in and say, yep, everybody wants to see Notre Dame, no matter where we go, this happens. I'm actually going to call them out, though. I think this has every bit to do with Georgia, the fever pitch that we, the fans and Bulldog Nation, have to see our own Dogs. It certainly adds to the equation that it's Notre Dame coming in, but I think a lot of this demand has everything to do with the Georgia Bulldogs and equally as much as Notre Dame. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. I don't think that the excess demand you're seeing for this is being driven by Notre Dame fans. Now, the uniqueness of this from a Georgia fan's perspective probably does add to this a little bit. We just haven't seen Georgia. Now, we're about to see it over the course of the next decade, and y'all touched on this a moment ago. We're about to see a lot more of these interregional games, but we haven't seen as much of these recently, so that's helping drive this. But, I mean, you can look at a couple of different things. The degree to which Georgia is recruiting nationally now, the degree to which Georgia is kind of a part of some very highly rated TV games, where by comparison, the Notre Dame TV ratings aren't quite what they once were. You know, this idea that Georgia is borrowing Notre Dame's national brand for this game, that's not as true as I think some Fighting Irish fans would like for it to be. Now, Notre Dame still has, obviously, a prodigious brand, but as time passes, it gets smaller. And for right now, the Georgia brand, I'm talking about nationally speaking, which may have been non-existent as recently as a few years ago, I think is growing each and every year. So that narrative is maybe not quite what some Irish fans think it is.
Do you have a prediction, if you don't mind? I mean, there's no way to actually put a number on this, but I don't think anybody's expecting anything resembling a Notre Dame takeover, but there's certainly, as you just said, a lot of Notre Dame fans, especially in Atlanta, very interested in coming to this game. But I'm still expecting, Brandon, like 90% Georgia fans. That's probably a low ball.
Well, we know that Notre Dame was given 8,000 tickets, because I guess that's why they're putting in these temporary bleachers. So we know the number starts at 8. And then I would say, you know, does a Notre Dame fan or two find a way to get in some of the secondary market type stuff? I'd say maybe so. So would you expect to see at least 10,000 Notre Dame fans there? That seems like,
right,
you know, a reasonable number all the way around. However, you know, there's also a chance that Notre Dame fans could have put their own tickets on the secondary market and made even more money off the Georgia fans. There may be some Notre Dame fans who are taking some vacations, you know, off the money they've made off Georgia now a couple different times. But, I mean, would there be, you know, 9,000-10,000 Notre Dame fans? I think that's, you know, reasonable. There were probably about 20,000 Georgia fans at LSU last year, and I don't think there's going to be anywhere near that number of Notre Dame fans. I may be shocked, and I may end up being wrong on that, but that's my prediction, at least as of right now.
You know, we strip away all the, as some folks like to say, the outside noise and everything that's going on. What about the game itself, though? I mean, this was, it's very intriguing because the Dogs had the close win over Notre Dame a couple of years ago, and that certainly propelled Georgia. But, hey, Notre Dame's only lost three times since then. So, I mean, both of these teams have been really, really good. Ian Book is good enough to where if, you know, Kirby's, I've heard him talk about this a couple of times already this week about this is the kind of guy you can defend their play perfectly and he can still scramble out for a 10 or 15-yard gain. And those are back-breaking kind of plays. But what's your feeling just on the game itself?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is the kind of game that does not set up well for Notre Dame. Some UGA fans who may have been raising to Larry Munson, they don't necessarily like hearing that because they've been taught to have respect for your opponent and also to have, you know, every contingency for what might go wrong for UGA. But if you go back and look at the 2017 game when these two teams played a very close game, in the years preceding that game, Georgia and Notre Dame had very similar recruiting profiles. These were both programs that were kind of recruiting near the top 10 each and every year in the 24/7 Sports Composite team ranking. But in the 4 years in total now of Kirby Smart putting recruiting classes of Georgia together, you know, you see a third, a first, a second. The lowest number was a sixth. By comparison, Notre Dame is still doing pretty good to make top 10 each and every year with the recruiting ranking. So that's not the end-all, be-all of, you know, what determines the game. But I think it does go a long way towards saying how the gap in talent has grown since these teams have played in 2017. Brian Kelly's been a double-digit underdog five times since he's been at Notre Dame. This will be the sixth coming up on Saturday. And you look back at what happened in those games. 30-3, they lost to Clemson last year in the college football playoff. Go back and look at the national championship game in 2012. Got blown out by USC in 2016. As a double-digit underdog. Now, they did win outright at Oklahoma back in 2012, but that Oklahoma program wasn't recruiting anywhere near the same level Georgia is right now. This is one of those things where I think it looks good on TV to see these two uniforms against each other, but I don't think it's going to be much of a football game.
Talking with Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily, doesn't think it's going to be much of a football game. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. We'll see. I mean, well, those are good stats, though, you're throwing out there. I like when people make comments like you just did, and they have statistical evidence to kind of back it up. I'm fine with that. You know,
that's the thing. I would never want to say something like that just because I think it might be what Georgia fans want to hear or anything like that. Because obviously, listen, I'm wrong plenty. So all I want to do is try to be as clear as I possibly can be and explain why it is that I feel that way. Georgia's going to be challenged this year at Auburn. I think it's a really tough game for Georgia. You know, Texas A&M coming here in November, from a talent standpoint, brings some players with it that may be a little bit more difficult for Georgia to deal with, to say nothing of what happens December, January, and, you know, if this season goes as long as Georgia fans want it to be. So I'm not going to try to tell you that Georgia's not going to be severely tested at some point. I just don't think it's going to happen at the hands of Notre Dame.
talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily. You can hear it Monday through Friday, noon to 1 right here on The Ref.
Brandon, a lot of the guys that have made impact early on, and you kind of commented on this last week about some of these freshmen, how you think they'll be more seasoned as the season goes on, but we're all sort of falling in love with the George Pickens, the Dominic Blaylocks. Will this be a stage too big for those guys this week, or are they prepared for that?
Okay, so here's, Logan, something I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So let's say that what I just said a minute ago is right, okay, and there's a huge talent gap favoring Georgia. I think Brian Kelly deep down knows that. I think Kirby Smart deep down knows that. And I think that perception of talent gap could play into the game plan for both these teams. Brian Kelly wants to find a way to keep it close so that if a mistake is made, if a football bounces off a helmet or something like that, all of a sudden Notre Dame is in the position to capitalize on that. Georgia, likewise, knowing that it's got the running game and the offensive line to potentially overwhelm Notre Dame, says, the only way we get ourselves in trouble is by making mistakes. So therefore, we have maybe a more conservative game plan than some Georgia fans want it to be, because that's all we really need, mm-hmm, to kind of go out there and win comfortably against Notre Dame. So from that standpoint, I don't know how much you see of, now they're going to be on the field, but in terms of, you know, giving the highlight plays we saw from Blaylock last week, or what we've seen now from Pickens a couple of times, you know, I don't know that Georgia's just going to be out there, you know, playing with every toy that it has, because I think to a certain extent, Georgia wants to minimize its opportunity for mistakes, and Notre Dame, much the same way, wants to try to have a game plan that at least presents the opportunity to maximize on one of those mistakes if it happens. So for the Georgia fan who has loved seeing Fromm throwing to these freshman receivers, you may see some of that on Saturday. Obviously, Georgia's not going to run on every single down, but this being a game where it's, you know, the George Pickens show again, or the Dominic Blaylock show again, I think that both these teams may game plan this game in a slightly different way, because obviously the numbers scream Notre Dame can't run it and can't stop the run. So therefore, I think Georgia wants to make it be as much about that as it possibly can.
Well, let me ask your opinion on this, though, along those lines. If Georgia has a ridiculous, as Jeff Sintel said, sort of a star, what the consolation of recruits, forgive me on that,
yeah,
sitting up in that West End zone, would you not want to sort of show off all your stuff and put on the best possible entertaining show you could for those recruits out there, even if you are up-handedly?
Well, you're speaking my language now, because obviously that's exactly what I'd like to see. And, you know, if you establish the run well enough, then all of a sudden you would say, well, then play action now comes into play. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden now you can really overwhelm, you know, teams with your talent. And it very well could be that we, you know, see some of that come to be, because I do think Kirby Smart, assuming he knows this game is in hand, I think he will have a little bit of a mind of, hey, you know, or the recruits that travel, you know, Darnell Washington coming, mm-hmm, in from Nevada, Keely Ringo coming in from Arizona. You have a lot of folks traveling a long way,
oh, yeah,
recruiting-wise, to come see this game. You could be right about that. There could be a little bit of a wink and a nod in their direction. However, obviously, the first directive on that is to go out and win the game. And I think that Georgia's going to use its size and running back skill in order to do that first. But then after that, the victory cigar of maybe a big throw to Pickens or a big throw to Blaylock, to just kind of show off how multidimensional this UGA offense has become. I certainly like the thought process on that.
So you did kind of answer my next question. This is a big recruiting weekend for Georgia. Is that we are to understand that? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned some names, but I mean, literally, how many like 4- and 5-star guys are going to be here this weekend?
You know, that's a good question in terms of what the overall number ends up being. I talked to Jeff Sintel about this on Dog Nation Daily yesterday, and you got guys like Darnell Washington, Theo Johnson, I guess, who are making official visits. I believe that Noah Sewell, the really impressive linebacker, 5-star out of Utah, he's expected to take an official visit. Carson Beck, obviously the Georgia committed quarterback, he's expected to take an official visit. So not only is it a large number of names, that list is growing, and I know Jeff's doing a good job of chronicling that at our Dog Nation forum, which is forum.dognation.com, and on the regular website there as well. Not only is it a long list in terms of a number of names, but it's a lot of names that even the sort of casual observer of UGA recruiting will recognize. This really is quite an impressive list that's being put together that would rival almost anything that's happened in the Kirby Smart era up to this point.
All right, in this scenario, I'm not trying to be negative, but like if Georgia lost Saturday, I think we all agree, if they won out, they could get into the playoff. But on the other side, if Notre Dame loses Saturday and they win out, can they get in the playoff?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because we've never seen the SEC champion excluded from the playoff, and I'm guessing even what would be at that point in time a 12-1 Georgia, I'm guessing it wouldn't be excluded either. Now, I would argue that a loss from Georgia here might portend some bigger problems that might suggest you're not going to win
out. Right.
But if Georgia did go 12-1 with this loss, they'd be in pretty good shape. Notre Dame at what would be 11-1. You know, obviously Notre Dame got a lot of look last year, even though some people weren't all that impressed with their resume. I think, though, 11-1 Notre Dame is probably not going to get that consideration. Because the one thing the committee has shown you over and over again, no matter how much lip service gets paid to strength of schedule, blah, 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 it ultimately is about how few losses that you have. And I think the committee would, assuming you could find a deserving team that was standing at zero losses or something like that, you know, say a Clemson, for instance, or a Big 12 champion like Oklahoma, for instance, those teams would certainly get the nod over an 11-1 Notre Dame. So from that standpoint, you could probably make the case that Notre Dame has more at stake in this one than Georgia does. But for Georgia, there's an incredible symbolic value to what's out there.
Amen. You're absolutely right about that. And if Notre Dame did run the table after this weekend, they would have a win against USC. They would have a win at Michigan. But the rest of their schedule is, you know, doesn't have as many landmines as probably some other teams do. So, yeah, this is a huge game for both teams, but it's a maybe even bigger for Notre Dame just in that in the perspective of the national picture. Brandon Adams,
I think that's a fair argument. Yeah, I think that's a fair argument for sure.
But then again, you know, they're always in the net. They don't have that conference championship game to play. They don't have that to kind of fall back on. So. It's and hey, I love the college football season. The regular season is gigantic, and even though Notre Dame's not in a conference, they still gotta win all these. Do they have to go 12-0 every year to get in the playoff? And they just don't have as much margin for error maybe as some of the other teams that are in conferences do. So I know they'll be playing that up.
Here's the other thing that's not going to be talked about publicly a lot this week, but you know, is a kind of a private subject of the game. All those Georgia players tweeting last year when Notre Dame was getting beat by Clemson about how undeserving Notre Dame was to be in the playoff. Deep down, there's a lot of resentment, I think, on both sides. You saw maybe even some of this back in 2017 as well. Neither side's going to pay much public lip service to that, but you better believe that both sides are very well aware of everything that's been said over the years about, you know, the SEC perception or, you know, how they view Notre Dame. Trust me, I think there's long memories on both sides about some of that kind of stuff, even though it's not going to be spoken about a whole lot.
B.A., look forward to the show today. We always enjoy the Wednesday conversations. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you over here on Saturday.
I will let you know, David Pollack, the former UGA great, and, of course, part of the ESPN College Game Day team, is going to be with us today to talk about the big show being in Athens on Saturday morning.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome. We'll be looking forward to hearing it. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.